Hello, Mr. Lucas.
Hello, Bert. How's everything in Australia?
It's just fine. I've got a feeling that it's been a long, long time since you saw us.
It is a long, long time. I think it was during the Second World War when I was working there for the Tivoli Theatre in Sydney and also in Melbourne. And I also had the pleasure of working 2 weeks in Brisbane. And I was in Australia exactly about 6 months, and I still think about those wonderful 6 months that I spent in Australia.
I would assume, Mr. Lucas, in those years, to come across to Australia, you would have had to travel by ship.
I sure did. I would like to tell you about it. I think I came over on the Mariposa, and we stopped at Honolulu, and prior to getting to Honolulu, I got seasick, and before I got off the boat, naturally, I was okay. Then when I got on the boat again, and I think the next stop was Pago Pago, and in the meantime, I got sick during that little short trip. And then we stopped I think it was Suva, Fiji Islands, and I got sick between every port, Bert. And the next stop was Auckland, and the final destination, Melbourne. That's where I opened. I was there for 12 weeks at the Tivoli Theater when Frank Neal was the producer and director.
I'm sorry to say the Tivoli Theater in Melbourne is no longer here.
That's what I hear. Well, they really put on some wonderful shows. I remember the shows there were absolutely just terrific. And, of course, they were pretty long, and I was second after intermission, which was the headline spot. And I never thought I'd get on. I'm waiting to go on. But the shows were terrific. They had a line of chorus girls there, all locals, which was terrific. And I think one of the English stars that I worked with was Scott Sanders. And the other one, I think, was Kirby or something like that. I can't remember. I don't have the... But most of the acts, Bert, the majority of the acts, I would say, were from America.
What an amazing career you've had, Mr. Lucas. It's been a long one that's been obviously a very happy one for you.
Well, I am very, very happy to say that it has been a happy one. It's been not only a happy one, but it's been a very successful one due to the fact that the kind of songs that I sing, Bert, are the songs that the general public like. They're all happy songs. I very seldom sing a ballad because when I'm on a stage, I kind of try to put the audience into a happy mood. And I've been on a stage now ever since 1925 when I first started way back in New York when I worked at the Palace Theater. Of course, I had the pleasure also of appearing in England, and I played many, many South American countries also. And I've been in the show business ever since 1925, which makes it approximately, well, let's say 55 years.
Let me take a break here, and I'll come right back to you, okay?
Okay.
We're speaking with Nick Lucas. Okay, back on the Bert Newton Show to our special guest, Nick Lucas. Internationally, Mr. Lucas, the big breakthrough for you would have to be your recording of Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Tell us about that.
Well, Tiptoe Through the Tulips, Bert, was recorded in 1929 in November, which incidentally makes it 50 years this year. And I recorded that, which was kind of unexpectedly. I was appearing at the Orpheum Theater right here in Los Angeles in 1929 when the Variety was two shows a day. And one Sunday night, at that particular Sunday night, all the producers and directors and movie stars used to come down to see the Variety shows, which in those days included such big stars as Jack Benny, Sophie Tucker, and right down the line. And this particular Sunday night, there was a talent scout there from Warner Brothers that saw my show, and he came backstage after the show and asked me if I would be interested in doing a picture. Well, I said I would, and I auditioned for it, believe it or not. I was working and making good money, but I still had to audition. And when Darryl Zanuck, who was at that time president of Warner Brothers, heard me singing, he engaged me, and he had one song, Bert, in the picture that was already in production called The Original Gold Diggers of Broadway. And this was one of their first Technicolor pictures that they were putting on. And after they heard me sing, they got a hold of the songwriters, which was Al Dubin and Joe Burke, who are not deceased, and they said, now get together with Nick and write some more songs. So we got together. I didn't write Dipto Through the Tubes, Bert. I want to emphasize that. I just introduced it in Gold Diggers of Broadway of 1929. Of course, I never realized, Bert, that Tiptoe Through the Tubes would be such a smash hit as it has been, and it has proven to be synonymous with my name. And that was the beginning of my real recording career. But prior to that, I also had hit records like Bye Bye Blackbird, Side by Side, Looking at the World Through Rose-Colored Glasses, and so on. But the beginning of my real big success, not only in pictures, but in recordings, were when when that picture was released in 1929 and Tiptoe became such a smash hit.
Have you ever tried to estimate how many times you've sung it?
Yes, I've been asked that time many times, Bert. I would say on the average of, two shows a day, and that later on it became three shows a day, and then it became four shows a day, and working in nightclubs and different appearances. I would imagine, I think a good estimate would be about 10,000 times.
That's a lot of tulips, isn't it?
It sure is, Bert.
How did you feel about Tiny Tim latching onto it some years ago?
Well, that's a big question. No matter where I walk here on the boulevard, on Hollywood Boulevard, here in Hollywood. I live in Hollywood, California. And people stop and ask me, what's the matter with Tiny Tim? He's trying to steal your stuff and things like that. Why don't he stop singing that song? He don't do justice to it. I said, I have no authority to ask him to stop singing that song, and I have no authority for him not to sing that song because it's public domain. Anybody can record it. But by the same token, Bert, he has been a great help to me because every time he sang Tiptoe Through the Tulips, this is a little pun, I tiptoed to the bank. Because it helped sell my recordings, see? But I had the good fortune and pleasure of doing a couple of shows with Tiny Tim on the Johnny Carson show when he was engaged to his bride and the second time when he was married. And Tiny Tim is a wonderful person. I've been on different parties with him two or three times. But I told him many, many times, this is way back in 1969 when I first met him. I said, Tiny, save your money. Show business is a funny business. It's insecure. You never know when you're going to strike the bottom. But you know what he said, Bert? He said, oh, I don't care about the money. All I care about is that I became a big star, that I've always wanted to be a big star, and some of these great performers that didn't make it, that's all I care about. And that's just what happened to him. He wound up with no money. He's still around, however. He's making a little comeback now with his wife, and he was recently on the Johnny Carson show, and he's got a song now. We have a big gas situation here in America, the gas situation, rationing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a song now called Tiptoe Through the Gas Pumps. How do you like that, Bert? Isn't that funny? By the way, Bert,
yep.
You know he's plummeted to about 250 pounds.
How's that happened?
Well, I was on a TV show with him here, a local TV show, about a year ago. He's frustrated, Bert. I said, how come, Tiny, you gain all this weight? Well, he says that he likes pizzas and he likes milkshakes. And then he's got blood vessels problem too. He's got some kind of a blood pressure proposition. He's got high blood pressure, things like that. I said, Tiny, you got to watch your diet. That's very dangerous. You're gaining too much weight. So he says, oh, he don't care. Something went wrong in the meantime that I really don't know. But he's still around and he's still trying to get to the top.
You talk about him not caring about money. What about you? May I call you Nick, by the way?
It's a great pleasure. Why not, Bert?
Nick, did show business make you a lot of money?
Well, I tell you, Bert, I made a lot of money. I made a lot of money and I had my ups and downs in the market. But I will say that I had the good sense to save most of it. And I'm self-sustaining. I don't have to work anymore. I have a nice home in Hemet. This was about 100 miles from here. And I have a ranch in Colorado Springs where my daughter lives. I have a daughter and three grandsons that I bought in 1952. Will you listen to this, Bert? $40 an acre.
Oh, dear.
Now it's worth $5,000 an acre. So I didn't make some bad investments. I lost a lot of money gambling, you know, in Las Vegas and places like that. But I didn't lose it all. I'm in good health. I'm in good shape. I'm still performing. I get all the work I want. A lot of work I refuse because I don't want to travel too much. And I just hit 82 not too long ago.
I mentioned your age before calling you this morning, and I think a lot of people will be absolutely amazed at how you're coming across.
Now, let me tell you another thing, Bert. I'm not saying this in the spirit of bragging or conceit by any means, but you've asked me a question that I think you would be interested in. First, the financial end of it. That I'm self-sustaining. I have a beautiful apartment right here in Hollywood, and I also have my home in Hammett, and I told you about what I have otherwise. But my health is good. My voice is better than ever because I'm not working as hard as I used to work. And I just got, believe it or not, Bert, now this is going to be, this. I just got the biggest television exposure in my life just recently. I will be appearing in the Tournament of Roses parade, the 1980 parade on New Year's Day on the South Pasadena float, which will depict Tiptoe Through the Tulips, and I will be on that float. And it's an estimated 90 million people that will see that parade on local television. Then they film the whole parade, and it is sent to all the European countries, which at one time or other during that year of 1980, they showed that film once. I think that's, that came late in life, but it's the biggest death shot I've ever had in my life.
That's magnificent. You mentioned your daughter and your grandchildren. You had a very long and happy marriage, didn't you?
I did, Bert. I was married in 1917, and I was married 53 years, and my wife died about 9 years ago. And when she died, we were married 53 years. And of course, I'm a widower now. And after being married 53 years to one woman, it's pretty hard for me to get used to somebody else. And I have a lot of friends, and I go out, I socialize a lot with mostly my theatrical friends, and it was tough for about a year, but I'm all right now.
Nick, you mentioned gambling in Vegas. Did you lose what we'd consider a fortune?
Well, yes. I would say during my entire career, Bert, I mean, all the years of losing now and then and winning now and then, which goes back to about, well, I had a gambling instinct in my life ever since I was in grammar school. I always like to shoot crap. That's my weakness. That and coffee. I don't smoke. I don't drink. But we all got to have some weaknesses and some outlet, and that's it. But I would say during my entire career, I lost at least $300,000 to $400,000. And I quit gambling, Bert, in 1965. I was working up at Harris Club in Reno, and also one in Tahoe. I had a group, piano, bass, drums, and myself, and I worked 16 weeks a year. I had a contract 16 weeks a year at $3,500 a week, and I netted $2,500 out of that. I paid my musicians, I paid my piano player $400, my bass player $300, and my drummer $300, and I netted $2,500. And in the interim, I always used to drop at least $500 a week, but those years that I was up there, I saved enough money to retire on. I fooled them. In 1965, I quit playing the nightclub circuit with a group. And I went back to doing my single act, which I enjoy more. I enjoy more doing my single act because I go out there and do my 30 minutes, and I'm through, and I don't have to battle the crowds. And I might say that a good estimate is about $400,000.
In Hollywood, we're speaking with Nick Lucas. Okay, back on the Bert Newton Show to our special guest, Nick Lucas. Nick, we've talked about your gambling, we've talked about your very happy marriage, and we've talked about the the manner in which you've been able to stay so successfully in show business. Some of your contemporaries, how well did you know, say, a guy like Bing Crosby?
Well, Bing Crosby, I know Bing Crosby way back in New York when he first started on radio. See, I started on radio, Bert. That's where I got my real big break. I was on NBC and on CBS. I had a sustaining show there for quite a number of years. And Bing Crosby, I met him in about, I think it was 1927, 1928, when he first started on radio. And I knew him as he used to sing with the band, you know. And he was a wonderful person. He had a little problem with drinking, but then he overcame that, and he became very famous. And during the meantime, I used to see him a lot at the Lakeside Golf Course here, right here in North Hollywood, which is just most of the movie stars and radio and TV stars belong to. And we played golf together. I always found Bing Crosby to be a wonderful person and a real gentleman. And he never got high-hat, as far as I'm concerned. He always treated me as though I'd known when he was a nobody.
What about Frank Sinatra, Nick?
Frank Sinatra, I don't know him. I know him as a professional, but I don't know him too well to say that I've had any special outings with him. I only met him twice. He knows a lot of people that I know, and he and I, as far as personal friendships, I would say there's nothing to talk about. All I know him is he's a great artist. And incidentally, Frank Sinatra is going to be the Grand Marshal in the Tournament of Roses Parade next year.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme of the parade, did I tell you the theme of the parade is Music of America.
That obviously is a great thrill to you. That must be the culmination of a lifelong ambition to be seen by that many people.
You said it. You took the words right out of my mouth. That is more of a thrill to me, Bert, than anything that ever happened in my life. I worked here at the Hollywood Bowl with 36-piece orchestra and 20,000 people. I've appeared in when I was in England before His Royal Highness, the late Prince of Wales, and I sang for he was entertaining his aunt, Queen Marie, I think Marie from Spain. And I've had so many wonderful things happen to me in my life, but I must say, Bert, that this coming thing in January the 1st, New Year's Day, will be the greatest thrill of my life. I've been looking forward. I've been trying to get on for the past 10 years. So this thing just came out of the blue, and I'm thrilled to no end.
Nick, do you remember the record that you made over here in Australia back in the late 30s?
Yes, one is, I think I made three there. I think it was Regal Records or something like that.
Regal Zonophone.
Huh?
Regal Zonophone.
Yeah. One number in particular, Bert, was Good Morning, Good Morning. You know, remember that?
Yes, I do.
I used to play that as a waker up in the morning at some radio stations. I can't remember which one it was. You know, I got a fan of mine, Bert, if you don't mind, that writes me often. Been a fan of mine for years, and his name is Herbert Metkin, and he is from, I'll have to spell the name for you, M-U-R-R-U-M-B-E-E-N-A, Victoria?
M-U-R-R-U-M-B, oh, Marambina.
Marambina, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very good fan of mine. We communicate a lot. He sends me birthday cards, Christmas cards, and I, in return, send him all the same, and I also send him one of my albums, my late albums. He's a guitar player. See, I was the first one, Berg, to inject the guitar into a dance orchestra. It used to be the banjo. I used to play the banjo, and the banjo at that time was the instrument, but later became obsolete because the banjo was a very difficult instrument to record. I used to do all the records. I'm talking way back in 1919. And of course, the banjo was a difficult instrument. In those days, we didn't have the electronics that we have today. We had a horn, and we had wax cylinders, which were about 6 inches thick. And the banjo, it has a penetrating tone, and one note would jump, make that needle jump, and would have spoiled that whole cylinder. so we'd have to go and do it all over again. So I decided one day to bring my guitar and Howard Lamb, the leader, said, what are you going to do with that? I said, well, Howard, I said, let me try my guitar this time because we've had so much trouble with the banjo. Let me try the guitar. So he said, they'll never hear it. Well, I'll tell you what to do then. Just put me under the horn. Now, Bert, just imagine, with one horn to pick up 10 musicians. That was a difficult thing to do. Now, prior to that, the banjo and the tuba, we used to have tuba in those days, no string bass, that was out of the question. And in order to make it blend with the other musicians, we had to play very, very soft. You have to be very conscious of every beat. So I brought my guitar this particular morning, and we put it right under the horn, and I played rhythm, just rhythm, and it was there, and it wasn't there, but it didn't cause any problems. And Howard said, Nick, throw the banjo away, from now on we'll use the guitar. And you see, the guitar became famous, and the banjo became obsolete. So that was the beginning of the recording with the guitar, and also in the band.
Nick, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you this morning. I'm just wondering if, just on the phone, before we leave you, one quick chorus of Tiptoe.
Will you wait just a moment?
Sure.
Will you wait a minute?
Yep, I'll take a break. On the line, we're speaking with Nick Lucas.
If I had known, I'd have my guitar handy, but here it is, and I'll do it for you, okay?
Thank you, Nick.
Are you listening, Bert?
Yes, indeed.
Let me see if you can hear it now. Wait a minute. Can you hear it all right?
That's fine. If you can just get your voice a little closer to the telephone.
Okay. That is where I'll be some tomorrow, through the tulips with me. Tiptoe from your pillow to the shadow of a willow tree, and tiptoe through the tulips with me. Knee-deep in flowers we'll stray, we showers away, and if I kiss you in the garden, in the moonlight, will you pardon me? Come tiptoe through the tulips, oh tiptoe through the tulips, come tiptoe through the tulips with me.
Nick?
Yeah.
Thank you for your time, and God bless you.
Bert, I want to thank you very, very much. It was a thrill to talk to you and to all my friends in Australia.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay, Bert.
Goodbye now. In Hollywood, we spoke then to 82-year-old Nick Lucas.